Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another dark minisode. I hope we're all on the way to recovering from last Friday's episode, A Demon on My Shoulder. It's certainly proven to be, literally, the episode that's produced the most correspondence in our entire show's history. I knew the episode with its content would resonate with a lot of people, but I certainly did not expect the amount of interaction that we've had. And although the submitter wished to remain anonymous, and of course I'll honour their wishes, they should know the love that's been poured their way by you wonderful listeners of this show. So thank you guys so much. I've often said this show has the best listeners, and once again you've proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt. So thank you. But we have a mini-sode to get on with, so let's begin. This comes in from Anonymous. And they write, I've debated whether or not I wanted to share this story. I've only told one person of my experience in my life. But every time I listen to your podcast, I'm reminded of my experience. And I have the desire to tell my experience after all these years. This event will have two parts. My experience and my guidance counsellor's experience. I do wish to remain anonymous, so I will be changing the names and businesses in my experience for everyone's privacy. I had an encounter with the paranormal when I was 15. When I was in middle school, I was active in the school's pep band, which means that we would play music for all the sporting events, pep rallies, and activities for school. One Tuesday night, I had to work at Rave, a local bar and grill in my hometown, and I also had a basketball game that I needed to play in the band at. I went to work at 4 p.m, and I left around 5:20 to go to school. I was 15 at the time, so I didn't own a car or have a license. I lived in a small town, though, and I only had to walk about 7 blocks to get to the school. By the time I got there, it was maybe around 5:50 p.m. Because of this, all the other kids in the pep band were already in the gym, warming up and getting ready to play. Our school had 2 levels. On the main level was where the band room was, and there was a kind of long U-shaped hallway to get to the gym. The band room was the first room you walk in the side door of the school. There's also a medium-sized hallway which doubles as the main entrance to the school. We had 2 bathrooms on each end of the hall and a double stairwell that turned into a second set of stairs which led in opposite directions. Each would lead to the upper part of the school. I also want to point out ahead of time that the bathroom doors were the old-style heavy doors that had a mechanism that made the door close slowly. So these doors would take 15 to 20 seconds to close. and they were not that easy to shut on your own. The double stairway was long, and it would take a few seconds to run up them. Also, at night, all the lights in the upstairs of the school were turned off, leaving the top of the stairs in total darkness. But back to my experience. I run into the band room. I get my clarinet out, grab all my music, and I start to head to the gym. Now, at this point, it's about 5:55 p.m. in February in the Midwest. So it's completely dark outside. There's no light streaming through the windows of that school. And the entire school is deserted, as everyone there is behind the double doors in the gymnasium. Because it was late and there was no one there, the school had every other light turned off. So every few feet, you'd be walking in darkness, then in light, then in darkness, etc. I was never afraid of the school, though, because I'd practically lived there between school and activities and organisations. I'd never had a reason to be scared. As I was walking and turned down the long hallway, I noticed someone stood at the end of the hallway. Well, I didn't think anything of it at first. As I got closer, though, I could tell it was a little boy in white pants and a white shirt. I thought this was weird because no little kids should be in high school this late. They have a security guard that stands outside the double doors to make sure no one goes in the school during this part of the game. When I was about maybe 30 steps away, I could tell that I didn't know who this child was. I would like to point out that I lived in a town of about 650 people, and everyone knew everyone. This little boy was just standing there, staring up towards the ceiling, facing the wall and not moving. When I got about 15 steps away, he turned and rounded the corner. When I reached the end of the hallway about 5 seconds later, I stopped dead in my tracks. The hallway was completely empty, and all the classroom doors were locked. It would have took someone running about 30 seconds at best to get to the other end of that hallway and turn the corner to the gym. And I would have heard the footsteps running if that had been the case. Like I said earlier, the bathroom doors were old and hard to open and shut. They were propped open all day for easier access, and then shut at night. But none of the bathroom doors were open, and I didn't hear one shut. I stayed for a few moments trying to wrap my head around what I'd just seen. I opened the girls' bathroom door, propped the door open, and went to see if I could find this little boy, and let him know he was in the wrong bathroom. But there was no one in the bathroom. So I went out and I looked up the stairs. But I also thought, I didn't hear any footsteps, let alone any running up the stairs. This kid looked around 7 or 8 years old, so it would have taken him time to run up the stairs, and I would have heard him, and I would have seen him at the top. There was no one in the hallway, the bathroom, or on the stairs. I remember feeling my heart beating so fast, and my mind was reeling, trying to figure out what I'd saw, and where this little boy had gone. I finally composed myself, and I quickly hurried to the other end of the hallway and to those double doors. I was now late for this prep band, but my mind was still reeling from that little boy who just disappeared. I asked the guard if a little kid had just ran through the doors before me, and he said no. I was the only one to come inside in the last 10 minutes. Of course, he also reminded me I was late, and that the band had already started playing. I shook my head, trying to calm myself down. I knew I needed to get to the gym and get going. I went in, played with the band, and after we were done, I made sure I walked with all the other kids back through the school. There was no way I was walking back alone. I was so terrified when we rounded the corner of the middle-sized hallway to head down the long one where I'd seen the boy, I held my breath. But of course, there's no sign of the boy. I went back to work and tried to forget about that little boy. But I will say that that was the last time I ever walked in the school alone. Let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. Now, we all like to put off life insurance talk because it reminds us of our mortality. But life insurance isn't about death, it's about life. It's about ensuring the lives of those you love remain secure and comfortable. And I'm sure many of you will think, well, I'm covered through work or I'm covered through my bank account. But believe me, you want to check those finer details because you may be surprised what you're actually covered for. And this is exactly where Policy Genius come into their own. Yes, we could talk about how Policy Genius is America's leading online insurance marketplace, or how their award-winning agents will walk you step by step through the entire process. But the best thing about Policy Genius for me is they don't have a dog in the fight. They're not going to strong-arm you towards one company or another. They've no incentive to do so. Their only incentive is to listen to your needs, scour America's top companies, and find you the best price. For example, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that begin at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options even offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. There's a reason why Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot, and you'll find out what it is when you tick life insurance off your to-do list with Policy Genius. So head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quote and see how much you can save. That's policygenius.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
When I was 15, I was struggling a lot with depression and anxiety. But my family never believed in medications to help with issues. So they sent me to my high school's guidance counselor, Mrs. Johnson. She was a stern elder lady who was a no-nonsense type of person. She and her husband Bill both worked at the school. John was the math teacher. The best way I can describe them is that her and her husband were the type of people who really had their heads on straight, down to earth, no nonsense, skeptical of anything out of the ordinary type of people. They weren't the type of people who were freaked out or reacted rashly. They were the super calm, nothing bothers me type. By the time of my experience, I'd already been going to see Mrs. Johnson twice a week for a few months. We'd created a really good bond, and I began to see her as a friend, a confidant, and someone I could trust. The following day, when I went in for my counselling session, I was still distracted by the boy that I'd seen. Melinda, Mrs. Johnson, could tell straight away something was wrong. After a few minutes of her coaxing me, I told her about what had happened the night before. Hoping that she would laugh or state I just had an overactive imagination. Looking back, I really just needed her to confirm I hadn't actually seen a ghost, and that I was just overreacting. But what I was not prepared for was for her face to turn pale and visibly get nervous. I looked at her and asked what was wrong, but she didn't want to tell me. But I told her that in not telling me why she was afraid of my experience, that would make it worse for me. She knew I was suffering from severe anxiety, so I know she wouldn't have ever told me a fake story, just to scare me. She took a deep breath and told me that about a month previous to my experience, her and Bill had come into school on the weekend to get some work done. It had been a snowy day, and there was no sunlight shining through the windows. The lights in the upstairs of the school were off, so it was relatively dark even though it was daytime. Both their office and the classroom were on the second story of the school, so they had to go up the double staircase in the medium-sized hallway. When they were at the top of the first set of stairs and turning to go up the second set, Melinda said that something huge and black swooped down from the ceiling, causing them both to duck. Apparently, it looked like a giant shadow figure, and it disappeared as quickly as it appeared. Both Bill and Melinda had seen it as they both ducked down. Melinda asked Bill, "What was that?" But neither of them had an explanation. Bill did head back down the stairs to see if it was maybe a bird or something. But remember, this was the middle of winter, in a snowstorm, in a locked school. There were no birds flying around. They both just shook it off, as I say, no-nonsense people, and went to their office and classroom. After maybe an hour in, Melinda said that she heard the sound of someone running fast down the hallway. Thinking it was Bill, she came out of her office to see what the matter was. She told me her blood ran cold as there was no one in the hallway. The school was locked, and her and Bill were the only two people in the building. And she could hear Bill quietly typing away in his classroom at the end of the hallway. If she'd heard running footsteps, then so should have Bill. So she walks down the hall and asks why he was running in the halls. But Bill wasn't impressed with the not funny joke. "Melinda, you know I don't mess around," he said. Melinda didn't want to disturb him any further, so she stated she must just be tired and hearing things. She anxiously asked how long he'd like to stay and work. He said he wanted another hour at least. She went back into her office and continued to work, trying not to think about either the shadow or the running. Sometime later, Bill came in and said he was ready to leave when she was. As they were both walking down the steps, going to the middle-length hallway, they both stopped in their tracks and watched as one of the big, heavy bathroom doors was closing shut. I just want to say that as I'm typing this, I have the most unsettling feeling in the pit of my stomach. Anyway, Melinda went into the bathroom demanding to know who was in here on a weekend. But there was no one in there. They both went around all of the classrooms to see if maybe a teacher had come in. No, they were completely alone in the school. All the doors locked. Melinda said that she and Bill didn't speak about it again. But neither of them were planning on going back to school on a weekend after that. When she was done telling me her story, she begged me not to tell anyone, as she didn't want to cause a scene. I obviously agreed, and neither of us spoke about it again. It's been 16 years now, and I still remember the little boy in the white pants and white shirt staring up at the wall. I still remember the feeling of terror that came over me when I turned that corner and there was no one there. I also must tell you that after that night, I've had a recurring dream that the bathroom in my high school is haunted. In the dream, I can't go into the bathroom because I know something is in there. And I feel sheer terror at the thought of going in. I still have that dream to this day every few months. I still have that sense of pure terror in the dream. And when I wake up, I'm not sure if the dream is just in fact an overactive imagination. Or is it my subconscious telling me that what I saw was in fact a ghost? Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, thank you so much for providing your experience for this week's minisode. And the one thing I will add as a maybe is I wonder if the boy in the white shorts and the white shirt staring upwards was looking at the black bird type of creature that swept down on your counsellor. Who says spirits can't see other spirits? It's certainly something to ponder on between now and Friday's episode of The Dark Paranormal. And until then, stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.